ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। We have moved very much along. We started with the obeisances to Giriraj because we are here at the in the sacred valley of Giri Govardhan. And now we will go to obeisances number 76. And we will hear very nice informations about Lord Krishna. One word to the methodology, which we want to make clearer and clearer and clearer, so that at the end of this seminar you can apply it yourself with profit. The way to live this book, I'm not saying to read this book, but the way to live this book would be that you read in Sanskrit or sing in Sanskrit the obeisances with your word, with your speech. Then you make yourself familiar with the meaning so that you can meditate. And then when you have reached the end of that particular obeisances, you offer your obeisances in whatever way you feel comfortable and meditate about what you have just read and what you have just seen in your mind. It will become clearer and clearer as we go through. So here we hear how the devotee, the dearest devotees view Krishna. It is the gopis, and we are encouraged to look at Krishna through their burning eyes. Which, how do their eyes burn? Well, they burn in the fire of separation from Krishna. I believe many of us are enjoying the wonderful presentations in the morning hours, Bhajan in Separation by Madhavananda Prabhu. And here now, in this, it's text 307, if you wish to find it in your own reading time. We are learning to look through the eyes of the gopis at Krishna. Arha vihara santapta gopi gita gunodaya jaya shokapti nishtara Prakarat Ucha Kirtana. It's a Ucha Kirtana means very loud kirtan. The songs of the gopis who in the daytime burned in the fire of separation from you revealed your qualities. Sanatana Goswami says these songs sung with voices burning in separation and with eyes drenched in tears, these reveal Krishna's real qualities. For those gopis, reverberant praise of you was the means of deliverance from the ocean of sorrow. Victory to you. Isn't it beautiful? These gopis praised Krishna in a reverberant way. Now we must turn to our English-speaking public. What is reverberant? It is echoing. It has an. It's pulsating. It's reverberation. I know the word reverberation. It's like sound which comes in waves, which is in an echo, which is pulsating, which is voluminous, which fills space. So for those gopis, reverberant praise of you, that means it was loud, it was wholesome, it was really vibrating their songs, was the means of deliverance from the ocean of sorrow. Victory to you. In preparation to this class, I tried something which I really want to recommend to you. When I was in Bhaktivedanta Hospital only a few days ago, the doctors checked everything and there were all kinds of rumors in the air. Maybe he has cancer, maybe he has this, maybe he needs to be slaughtered tomorrow, and so on. And I became also a little worried, you know, and what is with my seminar, Krishna Lila Stava? At least let me give this before I die. And then I was worried, and then I came upon this verse and I said, let me also do reverberant praise. So when no one was in the room, I took my carols, my songbook, and I started to sing. And as I sang the names of Krishna in Vibhavari, Shesha, Aloka, Pravesha, and also the very good Nam Kirtan, Yashomati Nandana, Brajabara Nagara, you could see how the sorrow and misery leaves you by if you chant it very nice. So the gopis really chanted and reverberant praise of Krishna to become free from this burning fire of separation which threatened to devour them. The next verse, you can see the gopis now sitting at home. Krishna is out. It's daytime. He is for the cowherding in the cowherding pastimes, and they just sit at home and sing about him. By singing about them, Krishna will now come to them in a special way, just like the devotee who chants Nam Kirtan and praises of Krishna can expect that the beautiful form of Krishna appears in his thought. Here, this is exactly the next verse, is describing this. Sachi Kirtananamboja. Not Kirtan, it's Kirtananamboja. Sachi Kirtananamboja Vyastyasta Padapallava. Natita brujuga panga venuvatya vishadada. Do you want to hear how Krishna came in the minds of the gopis? With your lotus face tilted. Tilted means the face goes to one side. And one bud-like foot crossed over the other. And your eyebrows and eye corners dancing. You expertly play your flute. Now, Sanatana Goswami takes this meditation about Krishna from the Bhagavatam. And if you want to hear it in the Bhagavatam words, in the words of Shuka Dev, the young girls sadly spent their days singing of your pastimes. And then the gopis see a picture. Mukunda vibrates his flute, which he has placed to his lips. He stops the holes with his tender fingers. He rests his left cheek on his left arm. It makes his eyebrows dance. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes to us exactly how this is. Krishna rests his left cheek, on his left shoulder, in order to play the gamakas in the ascending and descending modes of the ragas. Now, those of you who know music know gamakas is a vibrato. When the flute goes, ooh, that's not a gamaka. It has to go, ooh. See the vibrato. Huh? It's a... So Krishna's flute sound, he plays the vibrato and just goes up and down. It's very, very enchanting and musically extremely skillful as he goes into the ascending and descending modes of in the ragas, coming up and down. At that time, Krishna placed his right shank over his left shank. Shank is this part of the leg, huh? The, in Deutsch, Schienenbein. He placed his right shank over his left shank to assume a charming threefold bending form, which enchants the three world. Krishna tilted his neck, rested the flute on his lower lip, not upper lip, it's here, and made his eyebrows dance to attract the attention of Subal and others to the skillfulness of his songs. Just listen, Subal. This is good, what I play now. And then it's described the type of hole, flute. It has seven holes. And you must know Krishna's fingers are extremely soft. But at the place where Krishna touches the flute holes to stop the holes, to close them in other words, the fingers are a little bit harder. Here they are still very soft and everything is very soft. So soft that when a leaf falls on the skin of Krishna, the skin becomes colored in a different way. But here, just there, because for flute playing, there it is much, much harder. There it's harder. And then Krishna will just stand like this in the forest and play these amazing tunes in vibratos going up and going down. And this is, of course, heard by the demigods who are themselves musicians, Gandhavas and all. And they hear this amazing new styles of music which only Krishna can play, and they become attracted to him. Now, something happens. As Krishna fills the holes of the flute with his air, it is not just air. You have to stop thinking Krishna is an ordinary flute player. He actually fills it with the love of his heart. And what comes out of the flute is not just some slightly temperated air. It's love, liquid love, which flows all over and begins to call for a relationship. So the wives of the demigods who are right there with their husbands are feeling that love of Krishna and feeling drawn to Krishna, and they become so excited that they breathe in such a way that the cloth, which is very tightly wrapped around them to accentuate the beautiful forms of their breasts and hips and all, becomes loosened. And everyone can see it's a woman in love with loosened claws, and they become ashamed. What will my husband think? I'm right next to him and I'm falling in love with someone else. But the husband are so absolutely fixed on Krishna that they feel we don't want to be males. We want to be women. We want to be females, in spiritual female bodies, and we want to associate with Krishna in a romantic way. Hopefully our wives don't find out that we are wanting to be with Krishna, and they will think, what type of men are we married to? Is there some, you know, I don't want to say, is there something wrong? So this is going on. When Krishna plays his flute, there is an attractive power which breaks through identifications of this, I'm a married woman. It breaks the identification, I'm a man. It just shatters all this, and what comes out when these hard shells are shattered is a soft stream of love which flows to Krishna. So this is the picture the gopis see. They see the most mind-enchanting Cupid standing in the forest with his eyebrows and eye corners dancing and expertly playing the flute. Next meditation is now, you know, it's Vaishnavas always feel they can't express Krishna's flute playing directly. They have to do it by explaining the effects which the flute play have. You know, if you want to explain what is a magnet, you will say how the magnet works on iron fillings. You will say, well, it attracts the iron fillings which go towards it and remain stuck to the magnet. You will not waste your time to try to explain there is some radiance, magnetic radiance, no one will anyways understand, and that works on the iron molecules. And so you will say no, you will explain it by describing the effects. Huh? So here Sanatana Goswami does this. Listen to the effects of the flute. I offer my respects to you, O Krishna, whose beautiful form enchants the whole universe. You arouse the desire in the wives of the siddhas, and you stun all the animals of the Vrindavan forest, leaving them standing like figures in a painting. This is a very interesting description of the Adbhuta Rasa, the very wonderful, amazing thing. The animals are standing there, their mouths are open, the grass should fall out of the mouth, but because they are like figures in a painting, it doesn't fall, it just stays there in mid-air or so on. Govinda Lilamrita describes that the birds who heard Krishna's flute play, they couldn't proceed any further in their flight through the sky, and they stayed in mid-air. But they didn't have accidents, you know, falling down, crash, 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 crash. No, they stayed there. No problem. It's the spiritual world, Rebbe. No material law, traffic laws. So figures in a painting also don't crash. It stays like this. So you stun all the animals of the Vrindavan forest, leaving them standing like figures in a painting. This is how you... Now Sanatana Goswami directs our meditation to the water. What effect has Krishna's flute playing on the water? And the water animals and all. And the carriers of water, that is the cloud. He says, you make the currents of the streams stop flowing. And the sweet sap rains from the trees and creepers. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the trees are male and the creepers who embrace the trees are female. So the Vrindavan trees and creepers are like husband and wife, And Krishna's flute song is like a Sankirtan party with madangas and beautiful song which passes by. So when a Sankirtan party passes by the house of householders should offer something to them, flowers, words of welcome, loving glances, or even buttermilk if they have, and so on. So the trees and creepers see that Krishna's Sankirtan-like flute song passes by, and what do? They say, we are a little poor, but we have this sap. Sap is this juice which is very sweet and very invigorating. So we will give this, and the trees and creepers begin to cry tears of sap as a loving offering to Krishna. You make the swans and other waterfall come to your sight, and you bring the cloud to serve you as an umbrella. Have you ever driven through Vrindavan and seen these watery plains? When you drive from Vasana to Vrindavan, there's a lot of water on the fields, and many water animals are there. You know, these wonderful animals. So when Krishna plays his flute, all these birds come flying towards him and go just very next to him and start to meditate like Danuda Swami's cousin next to Krishna in loving ecstasy. This is what the birds teach all the meditators. They meditate in loving ecstasy with great heaviness next to Krishna. And the cloud comes and serves Krishna as an umbrella. I think we talked yesterday about this. Your flute song, this is text 311, is beyond the power of Brahma and the other demigods to fathom. Fathom means to grasp, to understand, to analyze, to dig it. Your glances delivered to Cupid whomever you see. In other words, when Krishna looks with his loving eyes at someone, they fall in love. Your feet relieve the earth of her suffering. You might think, why is the earth suffering? Krishna is there. Well, you must know, when Krishna brings out his cows, it's millions of cows with sharp hooves who trample or walk over the earth, and the earth has silent screams of pain, and the dust comes up. It's so heavy. Imagine a cow would walk over your soft body. Imagine a million cows would walk over you. It's quite a painful experience. But as Krishna comes at the end of his cows with his lotus feet, he touches the earth, which is bifurcated and has many wounds from the cows, and everything, and his feet are acting as a balm which calms Mother Earth and heals her wounds. And she doesn't scream any longer, she weeps tears of ecstasy. Especially this is so when Krishna comes from the Kumara age, which is up to 5 years, into the Poganda age. See, on the day when Krishna turns 6, he gets the charge of the cows. Previously, when he was small, he only took care of the calves who stay around the house. But now Krishna says, I'm a big boy, I can take care of big cows, mother and father. And he talks to the brother Upananda and Sunanda of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj then sees that Krishna talks something confidential to his brothers, and he comes to his brothers and says, what did Krishna speak to you about? I mean, he never talks so confidential with me, but you seem to have been having a very close communication. Upananda and Sunanda say, well, you are the father and he has so much respect, but we are uncles and he talks a little bit freer. Yes, so what does he talk? Well, Nanda Maharaj, I mean, he says he's old enough to take care of cows. No, says Nanda Maharaj. See, he is not an ordinary child. He has lifted Govardhan Hill. He has killed Putana. You know, you trust him a little bit. I think you should allow him to take charge of the cows. So Krishna did some mobbing, you can say. Lobbying. Thank you. He took his uncles aside and convinced him of his case, you know, what he wanted. And the uncles then preached to his father. Finally, Nanda Maharaj said, okay, let him take care. So at this age, when Krishna turns 6, he gets charge of the cows, but something very significant happens. The signs on Krishna's lotus feet, which have been up till now extremely vague. Oh, Hare Krishna, our daily devotees, believers, Haribo, thank you for coming. Sanjay and Tel, Krishna Priya, he has given, and Omala and the whole family, you have given pleasure to our hearts, Krishna Priya. May you go with the darshan of Giriraj in your heart. Don't forget, also Krishna Priya's daughter, don't forget, Giriraj is calling you. Haribo. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Omala. Haribo, you may leave. Return. So at this time, there is a specific increasement of Krishna's delightful rupa. That is, all of a sudden, everywhere on his feet, these signs become clearly visible. And as he walks over the ground of Vrindavan, these signs get stamped on Mother Earth. And that's one of the reasons why Mother Earth is so ecstatic. She gets the signs of Krishna, discus, lotus, umbrella, fish, octagon, barleycorn, lion, everything on her bosom. Oh, and she's just happy despite the cows which have just gone over her. So, and you make the young women stand just like trees. So, this is, here the gopis are totally different than the earth. Earth is totally satisfied and docile and subdued. But the gopis get totally agitated when they hear this flute song. Where is he? Where is our lover? Where is Krishna? And then they begin to discuss things like, what is the flute doing? The flute is from the bamboo, and that is a male tree, and he shamelessly kisses another male on the lips. What is he doing? And the flute is taking all the nectar, which is really meant for only us, the gopis, and just doesn't give it any longer to anyone. And then on top of it, it proudly explains his victory as the greatest of thieves. It has stolen all the nectar from Krishna's lips by making these loud sounds which disturb us. Too much. Gopis are upset, in other words. So this is some of the wonderful effects the flute song has. And as the devotee reads these purports, these prayers in a prayerful mood, he remembers all these things and more. finally, I will abbreviate here a little. Finally, it comes to these beautiful scenes, which is the most wonderful scenes for Krishna lovers. You know, the gopis have burned the fire of separation all day. They only have one thought in their mind: when will Mukunda walk down the pathway of our eyes and come into our heart? When will the meeting take place? And that comes when Krishna's pastime of cowherding comes to the end, and at the end of the day, Krishna comes back to the village of Braj. This scene, my dear devotees, Krishna returns to his expectant devotees, is a meditational scene which is just so good. It's many devotees here in Vrindavan, they will do Madhukari during the day, and then when they will make sure in the afternoon when Krishna returns, they sit there and they start to pray to the returning Krishna. This is, by the way, also the time when Gop Kumar, who has been searching for Krishna by traveling through all the universes and all the spiritual phenomena, when he arrives in Braj, he arrives at the time when the sky becomes cloudy, but not from clouds, from dust clouds. And this is how the Brijbasis typically see Krishna return. They see first a dust cloud in the distance, and they know this dust cloud comes, it's the dust which is raised by the hoofs of Krishna's cows. Then they begin to see the cows coming. Then as they look at the cows, they only have one question: where? And they see some dancing cowherd boys. But these are our boys, we know, but where is the prince of Braj? In that moment, a sound comes from Krishna's flute. And Krishna and they begin to hear Krishna's flute song, and then they behold Krishna. As Krishna dances into the heart of the devotee, Krishna keeps his flute and swings, and while he dances, he watches the tips of his toes. Why does Krishna look at the tips of the toes? Well, he doesn't want to miss the beat, the tal of the flute song with his foot. He wants to dance really with the rhythm of the tal. Tal means, what does it mean? The tempo. This was a fast tal, this is a slow. And he needs to watch his feet. Am I in time? And in this way, the devotee sees a totally absorbed Leela Purushottam, the personality who is absorbed in his Leela, the personality of love to whom we all have a relationship, is coming playfully, happily, free of worries, into the life of his devotees. This is how the Brijabasis see him, and this is how you hopefully will one day see Krishna entering your heart. It's very interesting. All the gopis are totally eager and expectant. Yashoda chides the gopis. When is Krishna coming? Why is he delayed? And she sends a specifically tall gopi, tall so that she has a good overview, up the watchtower. So very high, and double high because she's high, the gopi also, to scan the area of Braj. When is Krishna coming? When is Krishna coming? And finally, she calls down, "Your son is coming down." And then they all run forward to the gate of Vrindavan, and then they see Krishna walking with lazy eyes, that like a very drunken with love, little red on the corner of the eyes, and his body is wiped by one of the servants who takes care that all the dust goes. There's, however, this is a very, very nice description in the Bhagavatam, it is there. Only one part of Krishna's body is full of dust. That's the garland. Now you might, because the servants can't wipe the garland free from dust. But it should surprise us, because one servant comes next to Krishna, and in the fold of his cloth, he has a clean garland, which is not full of dust. Krishna, however, has a dusty garland, which cannot be cleaned. Everything is clean now, because he enters into the view of his devotees. The dust is perfectly dusted off, but he has this dusty old garland. Why? This garland was made in the morning by Radharani, and he does not want to dispose of this garland. So this is how Krishna, the lover of his devotees, dances back to his devotees. And the boys chant his glories. Krishna did this, and they have already songs ready, and so on. It's a very beautiful homecoming scene, with which this obeisances ends. It says, "Your restless eyes, O Krishna, glow with joy, and your lotus face appears to be very happy. O Krishna, your body is encircled by a garland of forest flowers. Your beautiful gait is like that of the king of elephants. Krishna, you delight your mother, to whom the young gopis told your glories. Please, Krishna, protect me." And the special protection which Sanatana Goswami wants is that he can always envision Krishna's beautiful pastimes in his heart. We want to be protected from this nonsense forgetfulness of Krishna. So I will request to you now, we will just go through the elements of this obeisances. It is a description from, and then we will pay our obeisances to Lord Krishna. This time we will just gently say the Hare Krishna mantra. See, when you do this alone, you would have to have a copy of the book, and you would have to read it, and at the end pay your obeisances and meditate about what you have read. So here we will do it like this, that I will just give you a summary of what you have heard, and then request you to do your obeisances to Krishna in the direction of Giriraj. And because you should say something, your voice should work, therefore we will say the Hare Krishna mantra very devotionally, each on our own. Okay? So, we heard a description of Krishna from the song, from the perspective of the gopis. We heard about how Krishna looks in his Tribhanga form as he plays the flute. We heard about the effects of his flute on the wives of the Sita, on the animals in the Vrindavan forests, on the rivers, on the trees, on the clouds. And we heard how Krishna finally returns into the village of Vrindavan with his body full with this garland and moving like the king of elephants. And we ended with a prayer, "Please protect me." So kindly offer your obeisances to Krishna, and this time try to remember something of what you have read or what you have heard in this part of Krishna Lila Stava. Please do this now, and then I will give you a sign when we will enter class. Start now. Pray something, say something, either the Hare Krishna mantra, any prayer, you know, it's important that you use your voice. Body, mind and voice we want to use. When you are ready, you may slowly turn back in your sitting position. So we have ended this particular class, but we have still a visual demonstration of 30 seconds. When Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan, the forest offers him fruits. And of all the fruits, I have heard it said, this particular fruit, which looks so absolutely unassuming and even boring, like a potato, is his dearest fruit. It's called the chiku fruit. And by the amazing arrangement of the Lord, we have a good number of chiku fruits. And I want to request you to come forward to taste these fruits, but taste them not just with your tongue. Imagine, wow, this is what Krishna gets from the forest of Vrindavan. I'm getting now the remnants of Krishna's fruit prasadam. And by enlivening your sense of taste, you can enter in the beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan. So this ends this part. Please come, I will. I also have Sona Samprapti, or what is it called? What is it called?
Son Papri.
Son Papri.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes. Radhe, Radhe.